book of James this evening. We're up to verse 12, James chapter 1, and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this promise in thy word. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of trials and afflictions, Father, we can see your loving care and concern for thy children. And Lord, we pray that you might enable us to see this even more clearly this evening as we spend these next few minutes in thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, James thus far has been speaking on the subject of the tests of our faith. He's been speaking about a faith that will endure. And James has been, in his book thus far, he has been describing for us the difference between a living faith and a dead faith. Between genuine possession of faith and mere profession of faith. And the way that God weeds out, so to speak, the wheat from the tares, is his loving concern which he shows to each of us by putting us through the fires of temptation and testing and trials. Now the word temptation that James uses in verse 12, where he says, the man that endureth temptation, this temptation is the same word as it's translated trying of your faith in verse 2. It is a testing, not so much a solicitation to evil, but a test of the genuineness of one's faith. And that is something the Lord puts every one of us through. Everyone who professes the name of Christ can expect testing of that profession. Now James says here that blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed or happy or fortunate is such a man. Now, this blessedness, this joy, this happiness that we have is not the result of the trial coming to an end. That's not what James means when he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. He's saying, blessed is the man that goes through this temptation in faith, victoriously. And so when God puts our faith on trial, and we endure that trial, that testing of our faith, we can have great joy in the Lord. Now defeat brings sorrow and guilt and all kinds of bad feelings. But victory in this kind of a struggle in our Christian life brings joy and happiness and a real contentment that absolutely nothing in this world can shake. Because this is the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a yielded believer. Joy, blessedness, happiness in our lives comes by enduring testings of our faith. Excuse me. Now, when James says endure these temptations here, you know, usually when we hear the word endure, we have in English the sense of sort of a drudgery to it. It's just something we're going to endure. It's something we're going to grit our teeth, and by grit and human willpower, we're somehow going to struggle our way through it, and we're going to see it through to the end. Well, that's not at all what is implied by the word that James uses here for endurance. Endurance is not simply getting through a trial. Endurance is patience. And patience and joy go hand in hand in the Scriptures. Enduring a trial is going through the trial, but it's not simply going through it and getting it over with. It's going through it and bearing up joyfully through this trial. Now, James says endure here, and he uses the present tense in verse 12 for enduring temptation, which indicates a continuous action. And he's saying, blessed or happy is the man that continually endures through these trials and testings of one's faith. Now, certainly this does not imply that believers never fall or believers never fail any one particular test. But what this verse is teaching And what chapter 1 of James is teaching, and what the whole book of James revolves around, is this simple fact. That if a man has genuine faith, he's going to endure. If there's real faith, if that man has life, if he's been born again, if he has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, he's going to endure trials and temptations. Now, we may fail a test, and we're all going to fail tests from time to time. And that's not what he's speaking of here. He's not talking about an individual test that we may fail. And certainly all of us have failed tests of the Lord and failed them miserably. But James is looking at the life of the individual as a unit, as a whole. As God looks down on your life, God doesn't necessarily have to see your life just in time slots, today and tomorrow and the next day and yesterday and the day before. God can look at your life as a unit. And of every single believer, it can be said, he endured the test of faith. That can be said of every Christian. Trials work patience in us. And you know what patience is in the Scriptures? It's not the patience in the Bible. It isn't simply the man that can sit at the bus stop and he's 5 minutes late and the bus is supposed to be there and the bus is a few minutes late and he just sits there and he doesn't punch the wall or anything else. That's not patience. That's not patience. Patience in the Bible is endurance. It's not a man who is necessarily it doesn't mean that he necessarily can wait a long time for things. It's the man that endures. There's pressure on top of him, but he holds up under the pressure. That is endurance. That is patience in the Scriptures. And God says that that is what he is working in us. When he allows this pressure to come upon us, he's working in us the ability to bear up under it. That is endurance. And God says, blessed. Happy is the man that allows the Lord to work this patience in our lives. Happy is that man. Blessed is that man. James goes on in verse 12 and he says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. For when he is tried. Now when James says this word tried here, it doesn't necessarily mean simply the man that has gone through a trial. This word has implied within the word the idea of trying and approved. And James is saying here that when this man is tried and tested and he's proven his Christian character, then he shall receive the crown of life. So we could translate this perhaps a little better than it is in our King James Version. We could read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. Having been proved, he shall receive the crown of life. You know, James is telling us here that if you are a true believer, you will be proven. That's what God is doing. And by allowing whatever test or trial or tribulation you're going through right now, if you are a genuine believer, when God looks down at your life as a whole unit all stretched out before him, God is going to say that life is approved. And his Christian character was proven by the test that I put him or her through. Every believer. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 that every man shall have praise of God. Everyone. Everyone that stands before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, every single man is going to have approval of Christ. Now remember that only believers are going to be at the Bema seat. The unbelievers are going to be judged at the great white throne. But the point is that when we as a bride of Christ stand before him, there will be something praiseworthy and worthy of reward in every Christian's life. And the reason is because if there's real, genuine faith, the trial is going to prove it as such. You know, we liken, or the Bible likens, very often, the trying of our faith to gold being purified by the refiner's fire. And you know what happens when you put gold in a fire? It's purifying. Every time you put gold in a fire, it's purifying. And did you know that no gold can ever go through fire without being purified? Every time it is purified to one degree or another. And the same holds true in our Christian lives. Every single trial that the Lord puts us through, there will be some aspect of our Christian character that will be nurtured. There will be some Christian virtue that will be polished. There will be some dross removed. Now, perhaps not all of that dross the Lord wants removed in a trial. And sometimes we can face a trial with a really miserable attitude. But remember this. James is describing the difference between gold that's genuine and gold that is a phony, fake, an imitation gold. And when you put imitation gold through the fire, it's going to be proven an imitation. And when you put genuine gold through fire, it's going to be proven to be such. And this is exactly, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13, we have an example here of how God uses trials and testings in our lives. Matthew chapter 13, we want to read verses 20 and 21. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately, right away, with joy he receives it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but he dureth just for a while. For when tribulation, or persecution, or temptation of one sort or another comes, when that arises in his life, because of the word, by and by he's offended. And you see what the Lord is saying here is that God allows trials and testings to come in the life of everyone that professes faith in God. And here in Matthew chapter 13, we read that there will be many who immediately hear the gospel. And immediately it sounds wonderful to them. All I have to do is say a few words and I can have assurance of heaven. I can have assurance of glory. And they say the few words and think that they have assurance of heaven. And then the trials come. And then the testings come. And then the tribulations come. And those that are genuine are going to endure. And those that were mere professors, the tribulation and persecution arises, they're gone. And we'll see this over and over as we grow in the Lord. So many people profess faith in Christ, and it's so easy to sit down with someone and say the sinner's prayer. It's so easy to go through the words. But God has a way of testing that faith. God has a way of separating the wheat from the tares. And God's method is trials and testing. And the whole point of the book of James is that God's method of testing works. And where there is genuine faith, it's going to produce proper works. And one of those proper works of genuine faith is endurance of trials. And James says, blessed is that man. Back in James 1, blessed is that man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Each and every test that we go through proves or upproves our faith. It improves our Christian character. It molds us and conforms us into the image of Christ. And it gives us confidence in three ways. It gives us confidence, first of all, when we endure a trial, it gives the confidence to us that our faith is genuine. It's just one more proof, just one more nail the Lord has pierced into our heart, that we belong to Him. And it gives us confidence, secondly, that God's power is real, that God genuinely is working in my life. And thirdly, it gives us confidence and strength to face the next trial the Lord sends our way. And they'll come. They'll come. James says also that this man, this blessed and happy man that endures temptations and testings, when he's tried, he's going to receive a crown. And James calls this the crown of life. But notice, he says, this crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown is a promise. And James says the Lord has promised us this crown. Now you can search high and low in the scriptures and you're not going to find this promise. Nowhere in the Bible do we find a very specific promise of God of the crown of life. And many have taken this, and many have interpreted this promise to be perhaps one of the unrecorded or non-recorded words of Christ. Remember, there were many sayings that Jesus said that were not written in this book. And we have an example in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul said, he was quoting the Lord Jesus, and he says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But we never find that recorded in the Gospels. Evidently, that was a saying of the Lord that was carefully handed down orally. And this very possibly could be another one of those oral sayings of the Lord, those sayings of the Lord handed down orally, where God promises a crown of life to those who endure temptation. Or possibly, is another possibility, that this crown of life promised by the Lord, that this promise is simply, James is simply putting all of the promises to God in a general form, in a general statement, and saying that God has promised a crown of life for those who endure. Making just a summary, so to speak, of all of the promises of the Lord. But regardless, we have here a great promise, and that is the crown of life. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So what is a crown? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. What is a crown? What's the significance of a crown in the Scriptures? And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Here we have a description, or a definition, really, of what crowning is. And here Paul tells us that if we're going to strive for the masteries, if we're going to strive in our Christian life, and Paul describes the Christian life like a race, and if we're going to strive and be crowned, we have to do it lawfully. We have to do it according to the Word of God. And so the point here is that those who live a Christian life faithfully are rewarded for that faithful service. And that reward is often spoken of in the Scriptures as a crown. It is a crown. It is a reward for faithful service of one sort or another. And so when James says in James chapter 1 that the man who endures temptation is going to receive a crown of life, do not confuse it with eternal life. James is not saying that if a man is faithful and he endures temptations, that he'll earn eternal life. Eternal life is never spoken of in the Scriptures as something we earn, as something we deserve. Eternal life in the Scriptures is always described as a gift of God, something that is free. And so many hear the plan of salvation and say, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You mean that I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all I have to do is believe, and I can be sure of heaven, and I can go out the next day and just live like the devil if I want, and I can have assurance of heaven? It's not fair, it's often said. God ought to reward people according to their works. Well, God does reward people according to their works. God always rewards people according to their works. But salvation is always a gift, and it's always by grace and grace alone. And it has absolutely nothing to do with our human works or our human efforts or enduring temptations. And so, when men stand on the grounds of grace, God rewards them according to their works. And those who are faithful servants of the Lord, those who stand on the grounds of grace, on the righteousness of Christ alone, they receive the crown of life for enduring temptations. And those others who are standing on human merit, who are standing on their own good works, are utterly condemned by the Lord, and they too will be rewarded according to their works. And men such as the Pharisees, who rejected greater amounts of life, will receive in heaven greater damnation. that the Lord Jesus spoke to them. And so, rewards is a biblical principle. Works is a biblical principle. But God always deals with different groups of people differently. He deals with the believers differently than he deals with the unbelievers. Rewards are based on the divine principle that the laborer is worthy of his hire. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And so the Lord gives crowns to faithful servants for their service, but never salvation on that basis. But notice also in verse 12, James says that this crown is future. He says, he shall receive. Now that's future tense. He's saying he shall receive this crown of life. Now we presently possess salvation. We presently possess eternal life if we're born again. We have it. It's already ours. He that hath the Son hath life already. But rewards are future. This crown of life is future. And it is associated with the coming of the Lord. Now notice also, at the end of verse 12, James says that this crown of life has been promised to them that love God. To them that love God. I'd like to compare this scripture with two others. First of all, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We're thinking of this phrase, to them that love God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, who is this group, to them that love God? Is Paul speaking here of some select group of Christians? Is he speaking here about those Christians only who were faithful in their service to the Lord? Well, he goes on and he describes those who love God. He says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's every believer. That's everyone. But whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he goes on and he describes, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. He is continuing his description of those who love God. In other words, if you're a believer, you love God. Now, there may be times in your life where you don't act like it. There may be times in your life where you turn your back on the Lord, but as God looks at your life, and remember, this is how James and Paul here is looking at the life of the believer, through the eyes of God. When he looks down upon us, he doesn't see our sin and our rebellion. He sees the very righteousness of God. He sees his love in us. And he describes us as those who love God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now notice how he describes these people whose faith is tried, whom having not seen, he loved. Here Peter describes believers in the same way that James describes believers, in the same way that Paul describes believers, as those that love God. Even though we don't see him, we love the Lord. That is simply a description of all believers. All believers, God says, are those who love him. Now, turn back to James 1 in verse 12. James says, the man that endures trials, the man that loves God, will receive a crown of life. Now, I've often read, and it's quite standard in most books that deal with rewards, that the crown of life is only going to be given to those believers, those select few believers who endure trials triumphantly and never falter and never fail. But those who endure faithfully, they shall receive the crown of life. You know, I think that interpretation of verse 12 does damage to the context of the book. Because James is here, he's not distinguishing between two groups of believers. He's distinguishing here between life and death. He's talking about the genuineness of one's faith. A living faith is going to live and endure and do good works. A dead faith is just simply that, it's dead. And James is describing the life of the Christian here in its whole perspective. And he says, we're like gold. And in fact, if there is genuine gold there, it will be perfected. It will be brought to maturity. It will be purified by this trying process of fire, because fire always purifies gold. And I believe that James is telling us in verse 12 that if you're a true believer, you will come through these tests. And your whole life is as a unit, you will come through those tests. And since at the end of the verse, he says, of the same group of people who are going to receive this crown, he says, they're those who love the Lord. And again, that is a description not of a select few believers, but it is a description of all of God's children. God describes his children as those that love him. Those who continue on, those who endure trials, shall receive the crown of life. Well then, does that do away with the idea of rewards altogether? If every believer is going to receive the crown of life, well, not at all. But what is a crown of life? It's not eternal life. It is a reward. And the Bible says all believers are going to receive praise of God, but obviously some are going to receive more than others. Some are going to receive well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I'm afraid others who have failed miserably time after time in the trials and testings of life are not going to enter into the fullness of life that perhaps another believer will enter into. And let me explain that. When James speaks here of the crown of life, he's speaking of the reward. That's what a crown is. It's honor. It's reward. And it's the reward of eternal life. And every true believer has eternal life already. But when we enter into glory, when either the Lord comes or we go to see the Lord through death, regardless, when we enter into glory, there will be different degrees of glory. And some are going to enter into the fullness of glory with many rewards for faithful service. Others are going to enter into the fullness of life, but with fewer rewards. And so the degree of that fullness of life throughout the New Testament is seen as our reward in the future life, our reward in heaven. The crown of life, we see in the book of Revelation as well, is promised to those who endure temptation. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I would like to look at trials. We want to see in the life of the Apostle Paul that he too equated, just as did James, he too equated enduring trials with loving God. Remember, those who receive the crown of life are described in two ways. The same group of people are described in two ways. First of all, they endure trials, and secondly, they love the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, starting verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, I have endured all the trials and testings of life. And I've kept the faith. Henceforth, or therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so Paul does the same thing. Those who finish the course faithfully, those who endure life in all of its trials and testings and keep the faith, they will receive this crown of righteousness. And Paul says there's another way of describing those who endure. Those, he says, who love the appearing of Christ. Those who love the Lord love his appearing. And so Paul is equating the two. Finishing the course and loving the appearance of Christ. Those men, and it's the same group of Christians, are going to receive a crown of righteousness. And James 2 says, those that endure temptation, those that love the Lord are going to receive the crown of life. Every true believer will receive and enter into the fullness of life. Every true believer is going to stand upon the same righteous grounds in glory. But remember, enduring trials is not simply hanging in there and waiting for this miserable situation to get over. It's loving the Lord in the midst of it all. It knows a great difference. Two men can endure the same trial. A believer and an unbeliever can both face life in a wheelchair, for example. And it's an awful trial to go through one's whole life, perhaps, in that situation. And they both might live to a ripe old age, and they both might be able to put up with it for 90-some-odd years. But you know, one man can go through that situation and love the Lord. And another man can go through the same situation and hate the Lord and be bitter against God. You see, the point is, James says, those who endure a temptation and love the Lord, that man shall enter into the fullness of eternal life. There are two ways we can come across wealth in this world. We can inherit wealth, or we can earn wealth. We can inherit wealth. It can be given to us as a gift, or we can earn it by our own labors. And you know, the same is true with our heavenly wealth. Every one of us who is a true believer shall inherit heavenly wealth. But yet there is a whole other range and realm of spiritual wealth that can be ours by service to the Lord. And these heavenly rewards ought to be our motivation in life. We ought to go through every trial that we face, not simply trying to endure it, waiting for it to get over, but bearing up under it, abiding in the very love of God, waiting and loving for his appearance with the right attitude, with the right frame of mind, and with a heart full of worship for the Lord. You know, our whole life as a Christian is one big test. That's how God views our whole life. And James is describing our life in that same exact way. In the preceding verses, he talked about the trials of poverty. And he also talked about the trials of wealth. They're both tests. Whatever lot in life we find ourselves in at this present is a test from the Lord. Whether it's poverty, whether it's wealth, whether it's sickness, whether it's health. How are you going to respond? How are you going to act? What's your attitude going to be towards the Lord? Are you going to love the Lord in the midst of all that? Or is the sickness going to cause you to be bitter against him? Or is the wealth going to cause you to love the world instead of him? Our whole life is a test of our faith. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation and testing. He's going to receive a crown. And James describes that man as one who loves the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true and faithful in all that it says. And Father, we thank you that we have this great promise. Father, of not only eternal life, which is our present possession, but the promise of entering into the fullness of glory. And Lord, we await that day when there'll be no more sin and suffering and sorrow. And Father, we await that day when our fellowship with thee will be unhindered by the things of this life and our own human nature. Father, we pray that as we do pass through different trials and testings of our faith, that you'd help each one of us to continue loving thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.